There was a little boy who had a new baby sister, and he wasn't really all that impressed. He went to school the next day, and his teacher said, "I hear you have a new member of your family." And he said, "Yeah." She said, "What's the matter? Aren't you happy to have a new baby sister?" He said, "Well, I guess, but there are a lot of things we needed more." I'm guessing that the first time some people hear the Christmas story, they might think at first that that's just what the world needed, was another baby. But they're wrong. The world did need this baby. Someone said that when God wants something to get done in this world, a baby is born. We know that that was certainly true about the birth of this baby, Jesus. The prophet had said a long time before he was born, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel," which means God is with us. In just 5 days, can you believe it? Just 5 days, we celebrate Christmas. Christmas Day, the fulfillment of that prophecy. The Messiah has been born to Mary and Joseph in that little town of Bethlehem. We're told that he was born in a stable, a strange place for the King of Kings to be born, that's for sure. I was reading a while back a story about a South African diamond miner who found one of the world's largest diamonds. This thing was the size of a lemon. Now, if you can imagine a diamond the size of a lemon. And he needed to get this thing back to his home, his company's office in London, and needed to get it there safely. So he put it in a steel box and he sent it, and he hired 4 men to carry it with them on a ship and to put it in a safe and to have at least 2 of those men armed and guarding it all the way over to England. But when the package arrived, and they got it to London and they opened it up, there was not a diamond inside. Instead, there was just a lump of black coal. 3 days later, the real diamond arrived in an ordinary parcel post, plain brown package. What the owner had done was, knowing that most people weren't going to pay much attention to a plain brown package being shipped, he shipped the real diamond in that box. And I think, don't you, that something like that happened on the first Christmas. Who would think to look in a stable for the promised Messiah, for the Son of God? Only a few shepherds and some astrologers noticed that there was something different going on that night in the little town of Bethlehem. Why should the world notice? As far as we know, nobody else heard the angels. Nobody else saw the star that we know of. The rest of the world just saw a plain brown cardboard box. They didn't know that that box held living proof of God's love for the whole world. Now, the shepherds knew. There were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night, it says. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were terrified. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid." And then he goes on to tell them the news that there has been a Messiah born. And where that Messiah was born. So they knew. Joseph knew because an angel appeared to him in a dream and told him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, that she was going to have a son, and that he would be the promised one, the one who saved people from their sins. And Mary knew too. And in her amazement and in her adoration after she was told by the angel, She sang, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his handmaiden." No wonder the Blessed Virgin is so important to so many people. There's an old story about a doctor who, when he met the local priest, he said, "Hello, Father, tell me something. What is the difference between Christ's mother and my mother?" And the priest said, "I don't know, doctor, but there sure is a very significant difference between the two sons." Mary is revered by millions of Christians because of the uniqueness of her child. She knew that that night in that plain brown box of a stable, in a manger, and with shepherds and lowing cattle, that the world had been changed forever. How? I think the hymn says it well. Love came down at Christmas. Love so lovely, love so divine. Love came down at Christmas. Stars and angels gave the sign. I said hymn, I meant poem. Love came down at Christmas. That's our message this last week of Advent. Love. Love was born in that manger. What kind of love? All kinds of love. We celebrate love for one another at Christmas, don't we? That's why some of us go crazy and get stressed out over getting just the right gift to say to the people we care about, "I love you." There was a cartoon that showed three little boys coming to the manger scene, each of them bearing gifts. The first two boys brought traditional gifts representing the gold and the frankincense, and then the third little boy came up to the baby Jesus with a big box of disposable diapers. Mary could have only wished. That cartoon had captured, I think, love made practical. Christmas is that time of year when we try to say to our family and our friends and the people we care about how much they mean to us. A gift might not be the best way, and certainly gifts are given to people for different reasons, but for most of us, there's more joy in giving than in receiving. We take this opportunity, and it feels good to express our feelings with a gift. But our love is not a narrow or an exclusive thing. Christmas reminds us to be more thoughtful about the needs of people that we don't even know sometimes. It reminds us to be more mindful of the needs of those less fortunate. That's why we collect food for the food pantry. That's why we do the things we do for others around Christmas time. That's why there are giving trees to be found in stores and churches and different places and different efforts made to take care of people in the community who are less fortunate than we are. There was a baby left on the doorstep many years ago at a home in Georgetown, Pennsylvania. It was the home of a widow with several children. But she took in that baby, and she loved that baby just like it was her own. In the evenings, she always read books to her children, and one of them developed a taste, a great taste for literature. That baby abandoned on the doorstep was one of America's greatest writers, James Michener. His life was a result of the unselfish love of a widowed mother. That's the kind of love we celebrate Friday. Love for one another. Love for people who are less fortunate than we are. But we also celebrate another kind of love. We celebrate a love for that Christ child that was born that day. Our love's not only for people, but it's also for God. There was a young family that was going home for Christmas. The car was all packed up. Everything was arranged. A neighbor would keep an eye on the house, take in the mail, feed the cat. All the gifts for the parents, the grandparents, and the aunts and the uncles were crammed into the trunk of the car. Plenty of antifreeze in the radiator. They just got an oil change, new tires. They had they were all set. Suitcases and hanging clothes were in the back of the vehicle, and they were ready to go. They were pulling out of the driveway, and the wife looked over at her husband and said, honey, we forgot the baby. And all the excitement and grabbing up the luggage and the gifts and all of the things that had to be taken, they forgot their most precious cargo, their baby. Sometimes, if we're not careful, at Christmas time, we can do the same thing. We can forget the baby. It's easy to do this time of year. We see and hear reminders. Don't leave Christ out of Christmas. And we do our best to keep that from happening, because we know that He is the reason for Christmas. There's a beautiful Christmas story from France. It's about four shepherds who came to Bethlehem to see the child. And according to this story, one of the shepherds brought eggs. Another brought bread and cheese. The third brought wine, all good practical gifts. And the fourth brought nothing at all. People called this fourth man L'Enchant. The first three shepherds chatted with Mary and Joseph, commented on how well Mary looked, having just had a child, how cozy the stable was, and how nicely Joseph had set everything up, and what a beautiful starlit night it was. And they all three congratulated the proud parents, gave them their gifts, and assured them that if they needed anything, just ask. And then somebody said, "Where is L'Enchant?" They looked high and low, up and down, inside and out, and finally, somebody peeked through the blanket that was hung to keep the wind out, to keep the wind from getting into the creche. And there, kneeling at the crib, was L'Enchant, the Enchanted One. Through the whole night, he stayed there in that position, knelt before the baby Jesus, whispering, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 Jesus." That's where I'd like to be on Christmas, wouldn't you? Kneeling beside the crib, whispering, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." After all, when you think of it, what else can we really offer Him? He already rules over all creation. He is the King of Kings. This is all His. What can we bring? Just our love. Just our adoration. And we do that gladly. We offer our love to others. We offer our love to the Christ child. But the most important thing in this world, this Christmas, is not our love for one another. It is not even our love for Christ. The most important thing in this world is God's love for us, shown by the birth of His Son. There was a newspaper story that was written years ago that's a good analogy of the love that God showed us on that first Christmas. Quote, "In Edinburgh, Scotland, there's a place called the Museum of Childhood. It is filled with childhood treasures. Teddy bears and trumpets and puppets and rocking horses and model trains and books and games and dollhouses and cases of dolls. Baby dolls, porcelain dolls, costume dolls, walking, talking dolls, dolls that can turn somersaults, expensive dolls of all sorts. The dolls of privileged children. And then off in the corner is another small case. Behind its glass pane, another doll sits, all alone. It's an old raggedy doll, much the worse for wear. But then, this doll began its life raggedy. This doll was loved There's no doubt. Not that it was, nor that it was born out of love. For all its shabbiness, and it was shabby the day it was made, it had and has a value untold. A sign on it says, "Doll belonging to a London slum child, circa 1905. The doll is unnamed. The child is also unnamed. The doll's body is made of tattered brown socks, stuffed with rags. Its arms are two thin sticks of wood, covered in wool. Its hair is a sock. It wears a plain gingham dress and a rough linen apron. For all its simplicity, it is made with painstaking effort. The head is the heel of a shoe, an old shoe, a worn down, battered heel, with the nail heads visible around the edges. For a face, the doll has small bits of paper pasted on. Paper eyes, paper nose, paper mouth. The mouth does not smile. Some might call it ugly. That would be wrong. Very wrong. Is it possible that the slum child made this for herself? Or maybe it was a gift. Maybe it was created by a mother or a father who was poor in possessions. I like that, poor in possessions. All they could give was love beyond measure. One does not need to have wealth to create something valuable. One needs only reach deep within, where value is defined. One needs not have wealth to give a gift. One needs only have the desire to give, to use whatever poor things are at hand and to make of them the best gift possible. In all the Western world, there were no slums bleaker than those of London in 1905. But somewhere in those slums, a sad and ugly doll was born. A doll that can bring tears to your eyes because it's so pitiful and because it is also so very, very beautiful. If you can appreciate the story of that raggedy doll, then you can appreciate the story of Christmas. A diamond named Jesus, wrapped in a plain brown cardboard box. And then, take it farther, an ugly doll loved into something beautiful. That's you. That's me. We are that doll. Look at us. Who are we that God should love us so very, very much? There's nothing that we could do to deserve it. Nothing but love. God's love. The love that came down at Christmas. People might imagine that one thing the world does not need or didn't need was one more baby. But that baby was just exactly what the world needed. That baby has brought love into the world. We celebrate that love on this final Sunday in Advent. Love for one another, love for that Christ child, and most of all, the source of that love that we celebrate, God's love for us. Amen.